Galatians 3:29. Interesting. I say Galatians 3:29. That helps if I'm in Galatians and not Ephesians. I said I saw 3:21, and it doesn't exist as 3:29. Okay, thank you. There we go. That's better. If you are in Christ's, if you are Christ's, everybody here a son or daughter of Christ? If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ's, you're Abraham's seed. Because Abraham is the father of faith. Are you a faith believer? Are you in Christ? Then all the things that Abraham was told he would get, you are heirs of that as well. We talked earlier in Sunday school about how that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ, and we're co-heirs with Christ. All the things he receives, we will receive. We're also heirs of Abraham on this earth. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak." We have to believe first. And how do we believe? We get the word into us until the word illuminates and says, hey, look at this. Kathy had a situation where she was being tormented about an area of her life. And one day she was just reading a scripture. She came running out of the bedroom. She goes, "This is it." I said, "What's it?" I was busy doing something else. I didn't know what she's talking about, but she was excited. And when she said, "This is it, what is it?" And she shared the scripture with me. It didn't hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, "Tell me about it." And she told me how that scripture just spoke to her. I mean, look, stood off the page. And from this day, that day until now, she's not had that problem. And it had to do with breaking the chains. Okay? It became an illuminated word. That word had been in there since it was written. She may have read it. I know she sang songs about it because she's been in some of the same services I've been in. But for whatever reason, that particular issue that she'd been wrestling with, boom, it was broken that day because the word got into her and illuminated, and she believed it and she spoke it, and she was delivered from whatever that situation was she was wrestling with. I thank God because I know what was going on before and I know what was going on after. He sets us free by his word. So when you get in the word and you take that book of, like I mentioned earlier, healing scriptures, and you got them all, you take it and you go over them and you read them and you speak them and you read them and you speak them and you read them and you speak them. Eventually they're going to just come up and become alive in you, and you're going to start going, hey, by his stripes you are the healed. That means you already are. That means what he did back then, all you need to do is receive it now like you did salvation. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, he did. And when you ask him to heal you, he does. Maybe it's over your finances. Maybe it's over something you're tied up with. The same Greek word sozo is salvation. For by grace are you saved, that's sozo, pronounce it sozo, but it's S-O-Z-O in Greek, but it's pronounced sozo, there's a D in there in the way we say it. It means saved, salvation. It means healing, healed. It means delivered, deliverance. It also means prospered, prosperity. So when you say that, you're saying a mouthful. For by grace am I saved, by grace am I healed, for by grace am I set free, for by grace am I delivered, prospered. God returns us back to the same state we were supposed to be in when Adam sinned. No troubles, no cares, no worries, no injuries, no illness, no disease, no aging. Amen? able to walk with God in the cool of the day, relationship with the Father. He restores all that in that. Let's go to God spoke. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1:3. Then God said, our version says, let there be light. But in Hebrew is light be. And there was light. Now, if you want to read down through there, that was on day one. If you're going to read down through there on day three, what happened? Then the stars, the sun, and the moon were created. He created light without a light giver. He didn't create light and all of a sudden the sun was. He didn't create the sun until later. Light was before the sun and the stars and the moon were there. He said, let there be light. And there was no light before that. All of a sudden there's light. Amen? How about Genesis 1:6? Then God said, let there be a firmament in heaven, firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So three verses later, all of a sudden, what was without form and void, he started having it make form, but he made light first. But he said it. He didn't get out there with his finger paints and start manipulating the clouds and the waters and moving it apart. He said it. Then in Genesis 1:8 and verse 11, we read, and God called the firmament heaven. Why do we call it heaven? God called it heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, again, he spoke, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. God spoke and it happened. Now, don't you think God could have reached his hand out and just grabbed a whole mass of material and started molding earth into its position and start planting all these grasses and trees? He could have done that with his hands because he's God. But he spoke it. And it was. Going back to 2 Corinthians 4, it says, going back to Romans 4, it says, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And when he did that, they did. Going on through Genesis 1:14 says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. This was when he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Before that, they didn't exist. But when did light exist? Way back when God said it. It happened. All of this creation, he spoke into existence. Did you know you're made in the image and the likeness of God? So yeah, but I'm just flesh and blood. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Adam was. But when you got born again, because Seth was made in the image and likeness of Adam. We read that in Genesis 3, 4. Seth was made in the, he was born in the image and likeness of his father, Adam. He had a dead spirit because Adam had given it away. Adam had died spiritually. And all men after that have died spiritually. Been dead spiritually. No live spirit. But when the spirit of the Lord comes into us, when we ask Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we become a new creation, one that did not exist before. We're a body that has a soul, mind, spirit, mind, emotions, will, etc. And we have a spirit. So a body, a soul, and a spirit. We are born again. Our spirit is made new. Now we're back in the likeness of God because we have an alive spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then he said what man would have. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. God made man in his image. God is a speaking God. And God spoke a blessing over man. We're to have that dominion. Because Jesus became a curse. Every curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. He became a curse by being killed on the cross. So that the curse that was given in Genesis 3 would be broken. He gave us new life by his Spirit. Becoming saved, we became the way we were supposed to. Problem is, we have a mind that needs to be renewed. Because we still think the way our old father, the father of lies, taught us to speak, taught us to live. We do the washing of the water of the word, the renewing of our mind, so that we start remembering and understanding and seeing that we're to live the way our new father wants us to live. Amen? In Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Of all the other things that God created, he didn't breathe into them. The very breath of God that spoke into existence, he breathed into man. That's the difference between man and animal, between mankind and any other created thing, is God put his breath inside man. When you hear the shofar being blown, the sages say that that is the breath of God that was breathed into Adam coming out through that horn and making the sound back to God. When you speak, it's the breath of God. God says what you believe in your heart, you speak. You speak the essence, the breath, the spirit of God. Amen? Does that mean that we're supposed to lie about what we see? Someone without a leg saying, I got a leg. Yeah, my leg might have been cut off in a car accident, but it's there. I can feel the toes. God's giving me a leg. And they try walking without a crutch. What happens? They fall over. If you say, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Are you telling the truth? Are you telling the truth? Now, if you say, Father, I thank you that the stripes on Christ's back made me healed from that day. And I take authority over all these symptoms that are in my body. They don't belong here because I claim the healing that is mine. I am the healed according to the Word of God. Now, there's a difference. You're not lying. You are speaking what God says. Okay? When I was in my teens, I had epilepsy. I had it so bad they couldn't put me on one medication. They had to put me on three medications in one. That medication was called Phelantin. It had phenobarbital. It had Dilantin, those two epilepsy medications. Both of them are downers. Both of them really depress your central nervous system to keep it from firing on its own. I was a dullard. I really was. But I was that drugged up. And in this medication, Phelantin, you can look it up, Phelantin, Phelantin capsules by Park Davis. They've taken it off the market. Because you were so depressed or so down and so dullard, so slowed down, they put another medication in there to lift you up. So I was going every which way. That other medication was methamphetamine hydrochloride. The same stuff people are cooking that is very addicting. that tears you up, messes you up. I was on that three times a day, every day. I don't remember some of those times in years. I knew I got through them because I'm here. I went to a revival. Never been to a revival. I was going to a Methodist church, born again, spirit-filled. I got born again at a Youth for Christ meeting, and I was going to Youth for Christ. I'd go out to Youth for Christ. Youth for Christ had nothing to do with the moving of the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Very strong in the Baptist traditions. They did not want to hear anything about the gifts of the Spirit. But through somebody there, I overheard them talking about something in an impromptu little meeting after service. I said, "Are you talking about what I think you're talking about?" And they thought I was going to turn them in. I said, no, don't worry about that. I've been reading in the book of Acts, and I think you're talking about this. And we had to talk kind of in code because other people around. And they said, "You go home and you pray. And you just ask God to fill you with that because it's for today." I said, okay. My parents already thought I was crazy when I got saved. They really did. I got really wild, really radical. So I went home and I laid down in my bed and the house was quiet. And I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I got filled laying there in my bed. And I had to clamp my hand over my mouth because now I'm speaking in tongues in a house that they already think I'm crazy because I got saved radically. They're going to put me in the loony bin. All I get to think is white coats and rubber rooms. And I clamped my hand over my mouth. I said, "Okay, God, I know that this is real." And I was filled with liquid love. I said, "But you got to turn it off because I got to go to sleep. Because if they hear this, I'm not going to be sleeping in my own bed ever again." Well, then I hooked up with a buddy of mine at school. And he said he was going to a revival. It was a Wednesday. I said, "How are you going to a revival tonight?" As soon as school's out, mom's letting me out early. She's already signed me a note to go because tonight starts revival. I said, "What's a revival?" He goes, "That's where you get together at church and you have church meetings and they preach the gospel and people get saved." And I said, "Really? I've never been to a revival. I've only been to church meetings on Sundays. And not much happens in my church on Sundays. They happen more on Friday nights or Saturday nights where we went to Youth for Christ." So we went, had to go out of town. We were going to sleep in the back of a station wagon that he had. We went to service, and I said, "Man, these folks like to pray the way I like to pray." As they were praying in the Spirit. At singing time, they're raising their hands. I just knew when I raised my hands and singing, it got so much better. I just felt like I was closer. I just loved to close my eyes and praise the Lord and worship Him. I was going to Methodist church. I'd never been in a Pentecostal church in my life. And I'm there and I'm praying and I'm worshiping. And the second night, we go back and I can't sleep that night. It's like, "Man, this is great." My buddy says, I said, "We got to come back. We got to come back. Can we come back on Sundays do they have these services all the time?" He goes, "Why would we come back here?" He goes, "Because I've never been in a church like this." He says, "There's one of these churches that I go to right up there in our hometown." "What?" "Yeah. The Assemblies of God are all over the place. And they're not the only ones that are like this." "What? You're kidding me. Right there in my town?" He goes, "Yeah, I go there." I said, "I want to start going there." So anyway, the second night was a healing night. I had never heard anybody teach on healing. But come time for the healing prayer, there was the evangelist, the pastor, and the assistant pastor on the platform. And I was one of them that came forward, different ones lined up across the front. I'd saw that the first time the night before where someone came up for prayer. Okay, so I went up there and I'm just praying, had my eyes closed, just praying to the Lord and loving the Lord and had my arms raised. And I tell you, as a witness, with my eyes closed, I saw like a white-gloved hand. And I looked at that, even with my eyes closed, I could see it. Everything else was dark, and this white-gloved hand got closer and closer and closer to me. And I even remember turning my head just enough to kind of try to look at it as it got closer. And that finger of that preacher touched my head the same time that white-gloved hand touched my head. And I was out. I'd never been slain in the spirit. I was slain in the spirit. Never saw anybody slain in the spirit. I was slain in the spirit. God talked to me and he said, I'm giving you a new mind. Among other things, I was out for a while. When I got up, I was drunk. I had to sit there for a while. I'd never seen anybody drunk in the spirit, never seen this happen. And it's like, this is awesome. I'm still on this medication. It's like, I just got prayed for healing, and God said, I'm giving you a new mind. Now what do I do? And I talked to the pastor, and he said, you wait until your doctor tells you to stop taking. I said, okay. He didn't know my doctor. So I took the medicine, and I put it in my hand. And I said, God, this medicine will not heal me, and this medicine will not stop me from being healed. I'm under my parents' authority because I'm still living with them, and I'm under the doctor's authority because he could have me put away. So I'm going to take this medicine under their authority. I'm going to bow to their authority, but I know you've already healed me. This is not stopping me. This is for them, not for me. But Lord, I don't want to be held accountable to the effects of this medication in my body if it's going to cause a problem. I didn't know what meth was. I knew what the others were. I knew I'd been on the medication without the meth before, and I was a dullard until they put me on that. Well, I would take it 3 times a day. Went back to the doctor. They do a blood test a week before they get the results, and the doctor said, Mom, he's not taking his medication. She looked at me, and she scowled. He said, I want you to watch him take that medication every day, 3 times a day. And not just put it in his mouth. He has to show you that it's in his mouth. He has to show you that he swallowed and it's not in his mouth. Make him lift his tongue and everything. He isn't hiding it and spitting it back out. So for 6 months, every day, I did the same thing. I would pray the same way, but I would show my mom before I took it. We went back and he said, Mom, he's still not taking his medicine. There's nothing in his blood. There's nothing in his blood. He's not taking it. I don't care what you said. If he'd taken any of it, it would be in his blood, and I'd be able to tell you there's at least a trace. There's nothing in there. My mom, when we left, she goes, I don't know what it is you're doing because I've seen you take that medicine every day, multiple times a day. I don't know what it is you're doing, but if you do stop taking the medicine, don't tell me. But she goes, we're not going back to that doctor. We're going to find another one. That was in 1976, 77. Before that happened, I could not get excited. I would play pinball and I would fall over. I would see flashing lights, I would fall over. I'm out with the cops, standing on scene. Have you tried to drive through these lights anymore? Get 2 or 3 police cars or ambulance stuff? It's so bright you can't see. And I'm standing out there talking with them and in the middle of these situations as a chaplain. The lights going on all around me. That would have put me out years ago. But God. But see, I spoke what God told me in his word. He'd healed me and I believed it. I believed in my heart. I spoke it. All I did was say, God, this medicine, it's not going to stop me. But I'm in their authority, so I'm gonna take it until they tell me not to. But I don't want the effects of this. He took it out of my blood. You seen the effects of people on meth today? My goodness. Yeah. So when you speak it, you first believe it. And when you speak it according to his word and you're believing it, you'll see these things happen. What do you say then? You confess what God's saying. What does Isaiah 53:5 say? By his stripes I was healed. What does 2 Peter or 1 Peter 2:24? By his stripes I was healed. So if you're talking about healing, you start confessing the healing verses. Now when I say confess, I mentioned this to those of you who were in Sunday school earlier this morning, that confession, in a legal sense, is to say something that you did, to tell people that I did this. It's making a confession, a statement of fact. But confession, and I will, forgive me before I try to speak this Greek word, homologio. It means to voice the same conclusion. Profession, full agreement, to declare, to say the same thing. To confess the word, with confess with your mouth, is to say the same thing. Same thing as who said? God. If you are saying the word of God back to him, you're saying the same thing. He wrote it. What does Matthew 18 say? If two or more agree, are in agreement, it'll be done, right? If you are taking the word of God and you are agreeing with God by speaking the same thing back to him, guess what? He says he'll do it. His mouth, his written word, and then being spoken out of your mouth. Amen? So to confess is to say the same thing. Remember I talked about if you're Christ's, you're Abraham's seed? God spoke things that weren't as though they were. Things that did not exist in one situation, he spoke them and they were in another. Here's what he spoke over you. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. It doesn't say all these blessings might or maybe or they're available to you if you have the right coin combination in the vending machine. He said, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will give you, give cause for your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see you are exalted by the name, or you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, the above only and not the beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the left, the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Blessings upon you, upon blessings upon you, upon blessings upon you. By the word of God, he spoke these things over you. And so if he spoke this world into existence by saying, light be, and yet in his word he spoke all these things over you, if you're not having your storehouse increased and your the work of your hands blessed, and your kneading bowl and your the fruit of your body, all that increase, maybe it's because you're not speaking the same things he's speaking. Maybe you're not in confession with him. Because see, this talks about if you do all the commandments. Are we able to do the 613 commandments? Are we able to keep all of those? Remember Phil talked about all the different knots on his tikkun? Are we able to keep all the different commandments that were given to the children of Israel? That would be our righteousness. We're given whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. He did all of those things, and then he gives that righteousness to us. And so by that being imparted to us, we receive all of this. This is ours. You need to study Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and start speaking it and start saying, God, where is my increase? You say you're going to bring it. You say right here that you will do it. I am in the righteousness of Christ in him. He put his righteousness on me. I can't do it in myself. But he did it. And this says that because I am Christ's, I am also Abraham's seed. Amen. I can claim this. I can claim all of this because it's in the Word. And because it's in the Word and it's in my heart and I've studied it and I've chewed on it and I've meditated on it and I've filled myself with the Word and I know what the Word says, Father, I thank you that you're pouring these blessings out upon me in Jesus' name. And then you'll also go to, the enemy comes against you about something and you just say, Father, I thank you that he was defeated. The Word says that all principalities and powers were paraded before him. That Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. You notice I'm not saying a thing to the devil. I'm talking to God. I'm reminding God about what his Word says. Because the Word says, submit yourself to God. But turning your back on the devil, you turn into God by resisting the devil. That's not standing up with fist fights. That's turn yourself to God, submit to him, remind him in his word about the victories. And the devil gets mad and he leaves. He'll flee from you. We're to fight the good fight of faith, to stand in faith, confessing, believing, saying the same thing that God's saying. I want to ask you something. If you go into a room of a bunch of people, and there's kids, and there's teenagers, and there's adults. And you look around, you might say, that adult and that kid look alike. They're on opposite sides of the room, but they kind of have a resemblance to each other. And you hear that kid talking, and you know that older person, you say, they sound like them. Not just the voice, but the way they say it. People know you're God's kids because you speak God's word. You talk the same way. In Antioch, it says in Antioch, they were first called Christians. Why? Because they were saying the same things and acting the same way, talking the same way, and living the same way they said that their Christ lived. The anointed one. Well, guess what? We are the little anointed ones. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It will make your mortal bodies alive. So as we go through these speaking what God says, God has a plan for us. Deuteronomy 29 tells us that. But you can speak against God's plan. There were 12 spies. 10 of them spoke against God's plan. You know what happened to those 10? They're buried out in the wilderness. The Jewish sages tell us that every year on the anniversary, until they were dead, one of them died, and he died with a plague. Every year. on that anniversary of that date. I don't get that in the Word. I get that from hearing the sages talk about what they've written. God didn't forget about the ones that grumbled. Every one of them that were of age that wanted to stone the ones with the good report and wanted to elect a new leader and go back to Egypt, they all died in the wilderness. God, for their hardness of heart, if you read on in Numbers, God wanted to kill them right then. He said, they spoke it over themselves, I'm going to do it. Moses prayed for them and held it back. So they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness until all of them died. They spoke death over themselves and none of them received what God had for them. They received what they spoke. Let's learn from their lesson. Let's speak what God says in His Word. And let's choose life and not death. If we choose life, guess what will happen? You will eat of the fruit of your mouth. What you speak, you will receive. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just pray right now for all of these words that were said, the abundance of the words. Lord, let each of these seeds of nuggets of truth go deep within us. To every hearer of this word, that it would then be mixed with faith in each believer, and there would be a bumper crop of faith and understanding how to speak God's word, to confess, to say the same thing that you're saying. Lord, I pray for an abundance of growth in each one of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.